back as I can remember. Whenever I'm teaching, if you've been around for some time, you know that when I teach, I like to go back to the beginning a lot. I like to go back to Genesis. And the reason is because I like to trace things from where they began so that you can have a clear understanding of how we got to where we are now. Okay? And so if you can have a clear understanding of how we got to where we are now, you can understand why we want to get you to where we want to get you. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Some people actually don't know that there's something wrong with where we are as not only a planet, but even the church. So I want to minister something, and I want to go back to Genesis again. And for those who have been with me for years, I've taught on Genesis, and every time I teach on Genesis, especially chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, even 9 and 10, when I teach on Genesis, especially the first 10 chapters, you think you've read the book, You think you've read the book, But I want you to understand that I'm a person, one of the things that drew me into my call as a teacher was I used to ask a lot of questions. And I had brothers who asked a lot of questions. And so, I believe that all the answers, all the solutions to our problems can be found deeply embedded within the Word of God. And so I began to search things out. And so in searching things out, my eyes were opened to see things that normally most people would not see. And so sometimes, especially when you have a teaching anointing, you can preempt the questions that people are asking in their hearts. And when you preempt those questions, the ministry of the teacher is primarily a ministry of answers. Praise the Lord. Not answers of the mind, just of the mind. Praise the Lord. So I want to take us back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, actually chapter 5. Listen carefully. When Adam was created in the book of Genesis, Adam was created a full-grown man. Not just Adam, but everything that God creates in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is fully grown. A tree is not planted as a seed. It is a fully grown tree. A bud is a fully grown bud. You're with me? So everything that God creates in Genesis 1 and 2 is fully grown. The reason is so that in the future there would be no confusion as to what something is supposed to be. You understand? So when you look at a man is not supposed to have other features. He's supposed to be a man. You're with me? And a woman is supposed to be a woman. So, from the very beginning, he creates a fully grown man so that there would be no confusion as to what a man is supposed to look like. And so he does the same for every single creature that is created. And so, God in his wisdom, when he creates Adam, and he creates everything on the planet, every living thing on the planet, and if you've been with me, you know, I emphasize that there's no such thing as living and non-living. Scripture. Everything that was created was alive. And I'm going to show you later when we get there that even now, there's no such thing as a dead thing in the essence. Everything, even if that chair has some life in it, we'll get there. Now, so God creates Adam, fully grown, creates all of these living things, animals and so on, plants. Then he releases a mystery called a seed so that through a seed, there would be multiplication of plants, of animals, and of man. With me? So the secret then of multiplication is seed. All right? Now, in Adam, he places a seed. How many of you know women don't carry seeds? They carry an egg. Guys are acting like you. Apart from Sheila, she's not in the room. So, Adam has a seed. And he's supposed to plant the seed. which then leads to multiplication. You're with me? Now, Adam sins. When Adam sins, first of all, I'd like to emphasize that when God created him, he gave him two lives. I've said this before. The life that came from spirit, he breathed into him. But then the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of a creature is found in its blood. So there is a life that is instilled in blood. That's why animals can live even without a spirit. You're with me? So there's a life in blood and there's a life in spirit when it comes to man. Now, when Adam sins, the spirit dies. There's a disconnection from God. But the life in the blood gets polluted, infected. I say again. He sins. The spirit dies, disconnects from God. When Jesus comes, he came that you might have life. So when you get born again, there's a reignition in your spirit. But not only did he die, his blood was infected. Infected with what? Sin. When Adam multiplies, what passes on sin is the blood. Oh God. Huh? You're with me? How can I prove that? It's actually the reason why when Jesus came, he didn't pass through a man. He had to be planted in the woman. Because how many of you understand? Give me Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. Romans 5, 12 to 13. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Notice, very important, sin didn't come into the earth when Eve ate the fruit, the jackfruit. Huh? I'm joking. Go and quote me. Sin did not enter the world when Eve ate the fruit. Sin entered the moment Adam ate. This is specific. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, that's an interesting mystery because had Adam not eaten, I don't know what God would have done for Eve. Eh? There would have been some kind of redemption there. But sin would not have passed on. And because sin somehow, it's a mystery, passes through from Adam through the seed of man, through the rest of us, Christ could not have a human father. That's why he was born sinless. You're getting me? Because what flowed from Adam is not in him. But he had to be born of a woman in order to be a son of man. Now the guy said, yeah, that's it. No, you guys, totally not. I'm not advocating for things here, eh? But I'm trying to bring across a point. Eh? All right? You're with me? So, the blood of man was infected. When we talk about blood, we're saying that when Adam sinned, the DNA of man was infected. DNA. To such an extent that when you get born again, something in the DNA is changed. Now, I'm not just, please hear me carefully. You might not feel anything. But we know that something in the DNA changes because Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. So something invisible. How many doctors we have here? Huh? Okay. You know that DNA has two strands? Huh? They call it a double helix. Eh? Yes. Now, even me, if I was seated there and I didn't know it, I'd just say, of course.
Natural double helix. What the?
Google. So, now, I want you to understand that when you get born again, there's an invisible strand. Added, I know what I'm talking about. Added to your DNA that makes you a new creature. praise the Lord. Eh? Now, I said all that to go to Genesis 5. I just want to read something. Genesis 5, we're going to read from verse 1. Eh? This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. I don't know if you've seen that. Eh? Both of them are called Adam. Okay, we'll touch that some other day. In the day when they were created. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Verse 4. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he, Adam, dies. Pay very close attention there. Adam dies at 930 years. Next verse. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Go on. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he dies. He does what? We're getting somewhere. Now, verse 10. I like to drill points in. So that you'll never forget what I'm going to share with you today. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan, 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. Verse 11. Let's go faster. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Go on. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. I want to reach Enoch. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared, 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 19. We're getting there. Oh, and Jared, okay. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch. Okay. Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. Go on. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. That means he died at the age of 962. Jared. 800 years after he begat Enoch. Had sons and daughters. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. What's that? That's a year. 365? Is it a year? I'm getting there. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. 26. Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Now, we could go on. Please listen carefully if you haven't been around me for some time. Genesis 5, there are 10 generations, starting all the way from Adam, ending in Noah. 10, if you count them. You're with me? Now, Please understand that a generation in those days was about 1,000 years. Why? Because you just need to go through the names and know. Someone lives 962. Someone lives 950. You know? So by just looking at their ages, you can tell the generation. Okay? A generation is determined by the life of the people in that generation. How long they live. So a generation for us in this time cannot be 1,000 years. You get what I'm saying? Okay, so these guys live, the longest of which is Methuselah, who lives 969 years old. They come close to 1,000 but die. There are 10 generations. Now, if each generation is 1,000 years, I want you to understand that God is not just giving people names. Those people are representing their generation. You understand? So Seth represents his generation. And so on and so forth. Now, just from that, if each generation is 1,000 years, and there are 10 generations, how many years are that? 10,000. So the earth cannot be 6,000 years old. Can we agree? Just that. I just wanted to drop that there. The earth can't be 6,000 years old. Because just from the 10 guys, those are 10 different generations. Okay? Now, the lineage I've just read, and if you've been with me, you probably know that each person in that generation carries a name. And I emphasized last week that Adam was a king, a priest, and a prophet. He was prophetic. And a prophet. And so they used the prophetic to name their children. Not this stuff let me pick a name that's not here. Shania. Eh? You know those names, eh? But picking a name, picking it from heaven, and placing it on a person, and anyone who looks at a person cannot disassociate their life from their name. You're with me? So, I'm sure many of you know. So, Adam means man. Seth means appointed. All the way up to Noah, meaning rest. Man is appointed, mortal, sorrow comes, the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. Amen. Okay? I want to go. Okay, let me say it again. Man is appointed, mortal. Sorrow comes. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. So, Adam to Noah is a prophecy. Now, you're with me? Now, Methuselah means his death shall bring. Huh? He lives 969 years old because he was alive before the flood came. It's not a hypothesis. Just go get the numbers, calculate. He was alive. He died the year the flood came. Okay? So, he's named, his death shall bring it. Bring what? The flood. You with me? Okay. I know exactly what I'm talking about because some of you already know this. Now, so, Enoch names his son Methuselah. He lives the longest as a sign of God's patience with man. And I've emphasized that every time people walked around, whenever they saw him, they said, man, the day this guy gets sick, we are finished. His death shall bring it. So imagine every day you're calling, death shall bring it. Death shall bring it. Yes, mommy. Anyway, so he's named Methuselah. His death shall bring it. According to tradition, all the way from back then, someone dies. You take 7 days of mourning. You read your Bible. The Bible says that Noah finishes the ark. God tells him to enter the ark, but there's no rain for 7 days. Then after the read your Bibles. After the 7 days, rain comes. He's mourning someone. Okay, let me move on from that. So, the entire lineage from Adam all the way to Noah is what you call the righteous lineage. Let's go to Genesis 4, start from verse 13. I did all that to emphasize this. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain has just killed his brother. God has showed up and said, the blood of your brother crieth out unto me. Huh? Bad impression of God. So, what happens is, Cain makes that statement. He says, go back to verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So he's feeling guilt. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. I wish I had time for that. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. There's a lot here. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain. Now, first of all, let's first stop there. God is saying to Cain, whosoever slayeth him. I don't even know how the other people heard. But he says, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. You guys read your Bibles. I'm sure you've read this before. But I want to show you what possibly people don't see. If I've killed someone, and someone, let's say I'm Cain, I killed Abel. God says, whoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Here's a question to you. If a person comes and kills me, what's the most God can do to a person in your mind? They also die. What you've done is equated what was done to the person. That can't be sevenfold. You get what I'm saying? So what is a sevenfold punishment? Okay. Now, guys, I'm asking the questions. I hope you're with me. What possibly could be a sevenfold punishment? Because if God kills you, he's just done to you what you've done to me. Let's read on. And he says, and the Lord set a mark. I haven't finished. Go back. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So we established last week that Cain went and settled outside Eden. So he starts a place, land of Nod, outside of Eden. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife. Where did Cain get his wife? So the question, where did Cain get his wife? Everyone asks that question. I'm just throwing them to you. Not necessarily that I'm going to answer them. You might not be ready for the answers. And she conceived and bare who? And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael. And Mehujael, begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. Verse 19. Lamech took unto him two wives. This is the first time we see polygamy. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zillah. Verse 20. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such that have cattle. 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. 22. Kali, we're just reading, but when we go back. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Nama. Verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, so one day this Lamech guy just turns to his wives and says, hear my voice, wives of Lamech. It's like me going home and saying, hear my voice, O wife. Anyways, it's wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding. He has slain a man. We don't know who this man is. And he says, and a young man to my heart. Go on. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Man, if we haven't even established what sevenfold is. What is 70 and sevenfold? 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name. Now, first point that many people might not have realized. Genesis chapter 4. The events that I've just read for you, just up to this point, happened before Genesis chapter 5. Cain taking a wife, dwelling somewhere, giving birth, all his generations, happened before Seth is born. Because the verse says, and Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son called Seth. So all that is happening before Seth is born. Can we agree? I'm not the one who's saying it. It's in scripture. Okay? That's one. Number two. I've just read for you a number of names. Five. The five generations in Cain. Not in any one of them does it say someone died. I read for you Genesis 5. Adam lived and died. I've just read for you Genesis 4 from verse 13. They mention names, not once do they say someone died. They don't mention their ages. In scripture, we don't know what happened to Cain. I'm heading somewhere with this. We don't know what happened to Cain. The Bible doesn't say Cain died. Is it possible? Can I throw it to you? No, you don't know the question yet, eh? Is it possible that there's a link between the mark on Cain's head and the absence of death? Another thing I want to point out is that Cain's generation ends abruptly. It disappears. From then on, we're going through Seth. All those genealogies you see in the Bible come from. Now look at the. I'm not coming up with my own Bible. I'm telling you, the Bible. Now, another thing you need to point out and realize is that in Genesis 5, the righteous seed, there's an Enoch. Genesis 4, there's an Enoch. You reread him, but also there's a Lamech. And there's a Lamech. Yeah, you agree? Hopefully you've seen that, yeah? Now, this scripture says, Genesis 4 says, Cain leaves, goes and starts a city. My question to you is, let's go through the genealogy quickly. Adam and his wife have Cain as the firstborn. And then Abel is second, Abel is killed. Cain is alone. Goes and takes a wife. Possibly there's a sister that was born. Who knows? He takes a wife. They have a child. The name of that child is what? Enoch. We read it. Not only that, he builds a city and names the city the name of the first child. Enoch means teaching. Huh? Or teacher. Now, if Enoch is Cain's firstborn, when you're building a city, which people are filling it? Are you getting my questions? You guys, we have Adam, Cain firstborn, Abel is no longer there. He's marrying someone, the firstborn son is Enoch. You build a city, which people are filling that city? No, I just ask you my questions. Eh? Who's building that city? If you're building a city. By the way, let me say this quickly, that in the Old Testament specifically, cities represent ideologies and systems. God judged more cities in the Old Testament than he did individuals. Sodom, the attempt to judge Nineveh, and all these, you understand, eh? Cities represent an ideology and a system. The first thing Cain does when he's out of there, out of Eden, is to build a city and calls it Enoch. Now, one of two things must be true. Either the generation of the righteous copied the name that Cain gave his firstborn son, or what I think is more likely, the closer someone was to Adam, Cain had to have prophetic abilities. I'm getting somewhere with this. You see, because Adam was prophetic, Cain, so close to the time man was in the Garden of Eden, had supernatural, I can assure you. He had to have been prophetic. Now, I'm going to throw it to you. It's a question, but it's not. Could he have seen someone to come? Because I've shown you in Genesis 4 that he was there. The events in 4 happened before even Enoch, thousands of years before Enoch comes. He sees ahead, sees a man, and names his son after a man. I know it. Now, Enoch, meaning teaching. I want you to realize that if you look at the genealogy in Genesis chapter 4, Cain's genealogy began with murder and ends in murder. You realize that? Okay, because Lamech killed someone. Okay, that's a trait, but then it suddenly disappears. I'm very observant. Let me just mention this. I'm extremely observant. I pay very close attention to things. And through the things that I pay attention to, I get a message from God. So let me give you an example. Just let's go off a rabbit's trail for a bit. Notice that if you look through the Bible, every time someone had an encounter with God, or a number of times when major encounters were occurring, people were next to water. Ezekiel says, I was by the river Cheba. Then he sees a vision of the cherubims and what? John says, I was on the Isle of Patmos. He's surrounded by water. Then he was in the spirit. Are you with me? The Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we were and remembered Zion. There is a link between water and spirituality. That's why, for those who know, you sing in the shower. Okay, some of you. Praise the Lord. So there's a link. That's why I've taught before that in Genesis chapter 1, water is found. According to scripture there, we don't see water being created. Okay? Water has its precursor in heaven because there's a throne and there's a river. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there's a link between water and spirituality. If you ever want to have encounters, please let me make, you can actually have an encounter without it. But if you want to quicken an encounter, you know, those first days, I remember, I used to go to sleep, and I love rain. I love it when it rains, especially that night, 2 a.m. rain. Lord have mercy. That rain is nice, eh? Married people say amen. Anyway, so those days when it not rain, I used to just go to YouTube and listen to rain and pray in tongues. Oh, let me not tell you. the encounters I had from just that. That's me. Some of you might not like rain. You like hot, sunshine, desert. Anyway, so there's a link between water and spirituality. I like to observe things. Take fire. Fire has teleportational qualities. There's a reason why some witch doctor doing stuff out there wait for the full moon, light a fire and start dancing around it. It can create a portal if you know exactly what you're doing. Praise the Lord. And it's not your normal fire here. I'm talking about where a mystery is added to fire and it opens portals. That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says the fourth man appears in the fire. Yajitawa. Where did he pass? So he passes through the fire. Fire is a portal. I don't have time to go into things like light, heat, sound. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that for a reason. Let's go back. Genesis. To Seth? No. So we go back. Now, a city is built. And after the city is built and named Enoch, a number of inventions come into existence. Inventions. And they're all mentioned. Can we go back? Let's see. Let's start from verse 17. Quick. Bear's son, he builded a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. 18. Quick. And unto Enoch was born Irad. 19. I want to see the inventions. 20. Okay, so first it says, the father of all those that handle the organ. So music was birthed from the lineage of Cain. Huh? Or should I say musical instruments? Because music existed in heaven. But musical instruments, specifically here, are birthed by the lineage of Cain. Then it talks about tents were made by them. It talks about weapons. Now, my question to you is, who are you going to fight with? If you're Enoch, the first son of Cain, the firstborn, Seth is not yet born. Then you have grandchildren, you have a child, then you have a grandchild. A child comes up with weapons. If people are few on the earth, who are you fighting? Are you guys understanding where I'm going with it? I'm getting somewhere with this. So the moment a system is put in place, inventions come through the system. All right? Now, which takes me now to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. This Enoch did not build a city. He was taken to one. Now, this is the heart of the message. Please hear me. Enoch, most people don't know what it means to walk with God. I was telling someone yesterday that Paul says, walk ye, you live in the spirit, walk ye also in the spirit. People don't know what that means. Because you see, you don't walk with God like you do your birthday. Because God is spirit. People don't know how to walk with a spirit. Because you see, the church's perception, a large percentage of the church, the perception of walking with God is be moral, pray a little. But if you look at the life of Enoch, there are a number of factors that are attributed to what is called walking with God. First and foremost is intimacy. Second is that he had encounters. Now, I know some people here might have issues with the book of Enoch, but I'll mention it here, and you close your ears. But you see, if you've had a chance of reading that book, the understanding is that Enoch was taken continuously to various locations in the astral realm and in the heavenlies. Places of ice, places of heat, places of wind, places of fire. All this in the spirit. Enoch, who was a prophet and also had the unction of the office of a teacher. Because Enoch means teach. He was a ruler in his generation, one. He was a teacher in his generation. Two, he was a prophet. Those three factors are why I'm bringing up Enoch. Because to understand dominion, you need to pay close attention to what Enoch was. A ruler in his generation, a teacher in his generation, and he was prophetic. Had encounters with the angelic. If you read the book of Enoch, actually it says that there are these guys in Genesis 6. Huh? Those guys who? I call them watchers. Eh? Some in Genesis 6 and others. Eh? Watchers. They come to Enoch and they say, we have done wrong. Please go and plead to God on our behalf. And it says that Enoch goes to God to plead on behalf of these chaps, the watchers. And God says, go back and judge them. Do you not know that the Bible says, we shall judge the angels? So he goes back and releases judgment on these chaps. Book of Enoch says there were 200. Now, even if the Book of Enoch was not the Book of Enoch, let's leave, even if it was not, just from the little experience we have in Scripture of who Enoch was, the Bible says in Jude 14 that he prophesied that Christ would return with 10,000 of his saints. Now, for those who are prophetic, hear me carefully. Prophets have different lines of sight. Noah said there was a flood coming. It came 100 years later. So he saw 100 years into the future. That's a line of sight. Isaiah prophesies about the birth of Christ through a virgin. He sees it 600 years before. That's 600 years line of sight. You get what I'm saying? Prophets have different lines of sight. Person can see a year, someone can see tomorrow. You understand? Enoch saw something that is yet to come. Just imagine that line of sight. All those generations, plus us, a man saw that and prophesies it and says Christ will return with 10,000 of his saints. So prophets have lines of sight. Now, the Bible says an Enoch walked with God and he was no more. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, that Enoch pleased God. Okay? Actually, it says Noah pleased God. Take me to Hebrews chapter 11. Take me first to verse 5. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because of... Yeah, it was Enoch. Was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want to give you some secrets of how you can walk with God. I want to give you some secrets. How you can build your relationship with God. You ready? I told someone the other day, and I think this will help some people. When I was growing in the prophetic, one of the things that I learned to do, people didn't know it. I'm about to release something that I no longer do. But I would come, speak over someone's life, and go back home and pray that it happens. And God has shown me nothing. Because the Bible says of Elijah, he walks in and says, there shall be no rain for 3.5 years, but by my word. Then Scripture says, Elijah prayed that there would be no rain. Are you understanding? It's a principle. Man, you can go speak and then go back and say, Lord. back me up. Grow your faith like that. Hear me, children of God. You shall decree a thing and establish. First of all, that's a simple one. Learn to speak things, and when you go in the presence, especially things that are righteous, things are, when it's a way to grow your prophetic. If you have a very good prayer life, even if it's a baby prayer life, ask God to back you up. For me, God backed me up. People would come and say, what you said came to pass. It what? It came to pass. I say, people say, but you can see. Was I seeing? Just say now, your brother is going to get a wife. March. Lord, I said March. I'm not sure. Back me up, Lord. That's how we grow. Now listen to me carefully. I shared with someone yesterday how to grow a prayer life. Most people, when they go into the presence of God, I was with someone who told me something interesting, a story of an Indian. He watches a Christian praying on a bench. An Indian sits and watches him. Christian is... So the Indian watches him for 1 hour. Then after a point comes to him and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm talking to God. Then he says, doesn't your God talk back? Because the entire time? And the Indian had a point. Now, people's approach to prayer is, God, I don't have what to say. I don't know what to say. What's up? And hear me. The foundation of a prayer life, of building a prayer life, is silence. If you don't have anything to say, a very good place. You see, the Bible says, in Isaiah, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He is not speaking to believers. Because if he was, then what would we do with the scripture that says you have the mind of Christ? The actual foundation of prayer is to enter. If you want to grow, enter presence. Now what will happen is that first your thoughts would overtake you. But the longer you stay there, the more you practice it, the thoughts of God will intermingle with yours. You will start thinking like God. I know what I'm talking about. And I was explaining that there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, there's a scripture actually that says, call out to me and I will answer. You guys like quoting it. But there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, before you call, I will answer. Now what that scripture is saying is that prayer actually begins even before something is said. Can you read it? It's Isaiah 65, I believe verse 20, 24. That before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So if it hasn't yet come out of your mouth and God hears it, prayer must be deeper than what you say. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means if I come to a place and I just sit, even if I'm just thinking, there's a place in God where needs, he picks a need before it is expressed. We have been taught that sound must be present for communication. And yet, hear me, a person can be speaking and saying nothing. And someone can be quiet and saying a lot. Huh? It's like a couple that is sitting together. They're silent. But in that silence, they're enjoying their company. There's more being said than words. You're with me? Don't always, if you want to go to prayer life, if you're struggling, don't go into yap. That people are yappers. I'm sorry. So you go in. Lord, I have to pray for my mother. Gosh, have I forgotten someone? And it's like, what do I need? And you even finish, Lord, and for the things that I have not said. You know yourselves. Eh? The things that I've not said, Lord, please, please, also those ones include them. Eh? Prayer is deeper than what can be said. Much deeper. It's a place of presence. You know, science says that light is faster than sound. But God never said, let there be sound. Oh God. He spoke and said, let there be light. Sound existed before light. Do you know that spirits travel on vibrations? Let me show you. Sound is extremely important, especially with frequencies. Spirits travel with vibrations. Jesus said, the words that I speak, sound, are spirit and life. If you knew, vibrations, they're sound vibrations, they're light vibrations, they're heat vibrations. Please understand that spirits travel on vibrations. One day I'll teach on that. But when you play music, there is a music, there's a sound that opens the spirit realm. One time I was passing by Makere University, a couple of years back. There used to be a corner where people used to pray. In the dark, at around 9, 10 a.m., near St. Francis, that side. So some guy was in a corner, I will never forget. He says, Lord, I want to enter. I want to enter. I want to enter. At that time, I did not understand what this guy was talking about. You want to, what? Enter where? I want to enter, Lord. I want to enter. I want to enter. And some of you, when you go to pray, you want to access certain things in the spirit. And you know yourselves, you start by, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And so you begin now, Lord, I'm entering. Have I entered? Am I there? I am there. I'm in your presence. Listen carefully. You can use sound to open portals. Sound is so important. Some of you don't understand. It's a reason why in certain places, in African culture, they will play drums while doing spiritual activity. Now, these things are not in order. You just catch what is good for you, what you want. Eh? But dancing can open the spirit in line with sound. The reason why David was a seer is because he was not only a singer, he was a dancer. My guys. You think Michael Jackson was just... Anyway. So someone has connected rhythm and music and opened a portal. I'll never forget back those days. You know, I would go into the presence of God and simply, you know, dance. And you know, for my brothers were unbelievers, that they still are, they would watch me from afar. And you know, when there's no music playing, you look like a madman. So you're just there. And they look at you and say, well, whatever demon has entered this guy. And so some people, sometimes you're walking down the street or you're in a taxi and you're just, you know? But if you could see from the realm of the spirit, the individuals around you, the realm that you've entered, though you can't see it, you can literally feel joy. Joy is no longer just a word. Some things are hard to express. You with me? And so sometimes when I come in and we're worshiping, I told my partners that if your problem is bigger than God, your solution is far. It's nowhere near. It's nowhere near. If all you see is your problem, the solution is far. Far away, like east to west, especially as a Christian. When you narrow to God, the solution is there, simple. And so when you come into a place of worship and you're thinking, oh Lord, now, I want a man, any man. Oh Lord, I saw this house, I saw these marinas. Lord, why are things working out? Lord, you come into the presence and so you haven't come with thanksgiving. You've come with the thing. The solution is far. It's actually a secret why most people, unfortunately, can come in the presence of the Lord and live exactly I told someone something I saw in the spirit one time. That people don't know that when we speak of the spirit, when we're led of God, things enter you. Now, if you're a person who easily gets distracted, I saw this one time when we were at a fellowship somewhere. As we were walking out, I could see things evaporating. Someone stopping, say, "Hey, how are you, man? Man, did you see this one's shoes? Did you see? Hey, baby, see what? I'm telling you, I know what I was seeing. And so, you try and imagine, fellowship touched you. Huh? You are moved. Somehow this stuff took away that feeling. So you go back home looking for that same feeling. But it's not the same as it was in fellowship because you don't know something. You have to literally recreate the atmosphere again to get back those things. That's how the enemy steals a lot of what people have. Eh? It's why you see most ministers that I know, spiritual chaps, the moment ministry finishes, is out of there. I'll see you tomorrow. I don't have time for chat. For me, one of the first things I do, I reach home, sit, and just dwell on a particular thing that was for me. Because I was explaining to someone that even if I preach for 1 hour like I'm doing, or even more, Lord, the entire message is not for everyone. That's why there are parts. It's like last Friday, I'll be ministering something, then the Spirit takes me into a testimony. And so while some people are crying, another guy is like, "Nayegwe, don't have a kumala. Are you on the other side?" Huh? Because everyone has something that is supposed to be planted. So don't sit and think that we're wasting our time. There are things that are put in, tools, weapons that are put inside of you. Huh? So things begin to evaporate from people. Sound is extremely, extremely important. I discovered something interesting, that the white people, when they came and brought the gospel, initially the gospel was already here in some sort, because if you trace Solomon's lineage, it goes through Ethiopia. Okay, that's for another day. Eh? Eh? That's why Ethiopia was never colonized. Eh? It was already a Christian, or should I say it has Judeo-Christianity within it. Right? Eh? Now, our ancestors were spiritual people. Some of them actually interacted with the Christ before the gospel came. Because God is spirit. And if you're interacting with the spirit realm, you will encounter a divine spirit and a demonic one. Yes? They had to. It's impossible to be part of the spirit and only see dark. So the white people come, bring a gospel. And they bring a gospel of theology. Huh? Which is not bad. But it's just books and morality. And remove the spirituality. Now here's the dilemma. Most of our ancestors connected with the spirit realm. Even today, you go to Jamaica, there's voodoo, what? Huh? Guys are connecting with the spirit realm. But the thing the Muzungu had that these others did not have is that when he captured something spirit, if he entered the spirit realm, he saw technology and brought it. The black man just saw technology there and continued dancing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, but you're still dancing. How if you are spiritual and all these things come from the spirit realm, why didn't they find the technology here? You get what I'm saying? Eh? And so the white man wasn't interested in jumping around a fire. Saw something, picked it, brought it on earth. Now, that is how things are manifested. I want to teach you. Listen, there is power in what you say, but if you say something without seeing it, it doesn't manifest. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God's word, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that do not appear. Were made out of things that do not appear. That's what it says in Hebrews 11. So the things that are seen were not made of things that do appear. So they were made of invisible things. Yes? Yeah. Everything. Which brings me back to what I was saying of Adam. When God created the earth, everything had life. Even though everything died, in a sense, There's what they call quantum physics or quantum mechanics. Quantum. Quantum means, for those who watch Avengers, you just watch but you don't know the words. Huh? You just say quantum. Eh? Let me tell you what quantum means. Quantum ideal is studying of things that cannot be seen. That's what quantum is. There are particles that are so small that anything that is solid consists of those particles. You're with me? When they study them, the particles are vibrating. They are alive. So this chair, even though it's immovable, has particles that are alive. You get what I'm saying? So there's life in it. Now, something cannot become solid unless it is observed. That's what quantum physics says. That's what quantum means. I never thought I'd go into this. But if you ever want to bring something from the spirit to the physical, see it, then speak it. You go on Google, go to YouTube. There's an experiment called the double split experiment. A scientist goes, gets a board, cuts two slits in the board, puts it in front of a wall, switches off the lights, and shines a bright light through the slits. Now, logic would say, if I shine light through two slits, what will happen on the other side? There will be two slits, right? That's not what happened. Go and look at it. Because if you look, light has two forms, wave and particle. Sun rays are waves. You don't see particles. Within the particles, you will see, within the waves, you will see particles. Okay, so light is both wave and particle. When this guy shone the light, on the other side, light appeared as a wave. Ideally, if it was particle, if I shine light, the slit, the light is supposed to shine through the slits and show on the other side. But it showed up as, you just have to go and see it, eh? To understand what I'm saying. But then what he did, he found it strange. Why aren't two slits of light showing on the other side? So what he did, he tried it again and observed the light as it passed through the slit. And when you observed it, it created two slits. Now, it's hard to explain, but what that experiment actually says is that human beings, when they observe particles, the particles solidify. That's what that experiment says. So just by looking at light, it became particle. How does the light know it's being observed? Man, guys. If you see something in the spirit, it exists. Let's say, what do you want? What do you want? What do you guys want? Twins? Okay. Okay. Let's say twins. Huh? You want twins. You see it in the spirit, it's no longer a hypothesis. The twins are there with their names, their looks, the nose, the what, everything, they're there. You're in the physical, and the aim is to bring the twins into the natural. I was telling someone that a lot of the things that we go through can actually be sorted in the depth of your bedroom. Just you in your bedroom saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to see this thing. I'm going to speak it. You shall decree a thing and it's established. And you maintain it. Don't allow any wind to shake your position. It has to. Not might. Has to. Because whatever man observes, it manifests. Now, that means what your life is now cannot be separate from how you are thinking or how you are seeing. You can't blame mommy and daddy alone or your boyfriend or whoever. Somehow, the way you are thinking needs to change in order to change the environment. Now, you already know this. To walk in the spirit, you must learn to observe things before they appear in the physical. Must learn to observe them. One of the things that I do, can I teach you? One way to grow your spiritual sight is through dreams. dreams are the easiest way to open your spiritual eyes. The easiest. First, actually, before that, the Bible says, no one can see the kingdom unless they're born again. So the first qualification. So ideally, the moment you're born again, you should have the capacity to see. That's the first qualification. After that, then come in all these other things. Now, dreams are interesting because these are things I had to learn to do. When you doze off at night, learn to build a discipline. It takes discipline, trust me. Create a pattern of waking up. I'm telling you. Create, because as you know, when I taught on dreams, many of you know, you don't dream one dream. You dream 16, 17, 20 dreams in a night. You just don't remember. Huh? Try to build a pattern of waking up and be intentional about it. Huh? Then record what you have. What you're actually doing is you're being faithful with the little. And your eyes will begin to open. I haven't even gone into visions yet. Now, I was telling someone that, and they told me, but Rabbi, I love sleep. Rabbi, I love sleep. Is there another option? Because... and many of you know again, Rabbi, sleep. Learn to build a pattern. Once you build that pattern through faithfulness, please understand, your eyes will begin to open. Because they open, primarily all of us, our eyes are open in the dream world. And I've told you before, you don't have a dream, you go to a dream. Okay. Right? Quickly. I have to finish this. Eh? So, if you want to open your eyes, please understand. Just master the place of dreaming. Spiritual eyes. Do you know? Spend as much time on your identity. And by identity, I'm not talking about your call, because some people don't know their callings. Spend as much time understanding what it is that God created. The Bible says, what is man? It doesn't say, who is man? That you are mindful of him. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What? Not who. Do you know that inside of you, there is an actual fire. A light. It's not this little light of mine. No, it's not a little light. There is an actual. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's not just being metaphorical. It's not. When Jesus said you are the light of the world, he's not being metaphorical. You are actually light. When the Bible says that Jesus shows up in Luke 24, he shows up to the disciples. And as they spoke, they said, did fire burn within us? You think it's just a statement. There is an actual light inside of you. Every human being has it. What happens is that when a person gets born again, I want you to imagine if you are in front of a fire and the fire is little, then you start blowing. Ideally, what will happen is it will grow. Okay? That's what happens when the Holy Ghost touches what is in you. That's why Paul says, fan up. He's not being metaphorical. Listen, there's an actual fire burning inside of you. I told my partners that you have what you call a battery. I call it a battery. You have an eternal battery inside of you. What you don't see is that when you worry, the light dims. When you focus on positivity and when you focus on the presence of God, you emit actual light. Science has shown it. Go Google bioluminescence. Human beings emit light. Just by science, is it? Because there's a spirit in man. There's a fire inside of you. Now, those are things that I occupy my mind with. You don't even need to go through scripture. Just thinking about, but man, there's a fire inside of me. Burning inside of me. Just that. You don't know. You see, when I go to sleep at night, I used to pick the book of Revelations and use imagery. And so when I see the throne, when I see that, I doze off with an image because it's easy to have access. It's different when you've come from beans that have been burnt. Huh? They've been burnt in the night, then you go to sleep. Then you're like, Lord, now in your presence. And you just keep on seeing black beans. Eh? Children of God, change your imagery. Be intentional. People do not see in the spirit just by luck unless they were initially graced by it from birth. Be intentional. There's a difference between the world has what you call the third eye. In the kingdom of God, seeing in the spirit is different from third eye. Because when a person with a third eye sees in the spirit, they see things in the spirit. But when a Christian sees, they see as God sees. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're seeing with God's eyes. That's the difference. This chap is seeing things, can even describe the spirit realm. And can even come back and tell you, but I saw no Jesus there. Huh? Because when our eyes are opened, God borrows them and uses our eyes to show us things using his. Huh? Praise the living God. Learn to pray in tongues until this thing here, you start getting these cracks on the lips here. Don't do it to show off. Do it in the sense that what you're doing, and many of you, there's a link between tongues and spiritual sight. It's a divine link. You see, God is invisible. To walk with a spirit, you must learn to perceive a spirit. The Bible talks about the gift of discerning spirits. That includes God. You must discern God. Huh? If you can't discern when God is in a place, you can end up fighting against God. Like many chaps in the church are. They're born again, the what? Discernment, zero. And so you need some Nicodemuses. You say, man, if this thing is not of God, it will die. But you see, someone was telling me, we said that statement long ago, eh? But at what point can we now say it is of God? Because people wait, they wait for something to die, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 7 years. No, we're still waiting. If it is of God, it will die. At what point will you say then that surely 8 years have passed, it is of God? Anyway, but discernment, you need pray in tongues. Spend as much time praying in tongues as possible. Apart from, Seth, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? You pray in tongues? Yeah, that's why I'm. You're looking at me, and I could see Atefe. What about the rest of us who don't pray in tongues, man and God? Eyes are never gonna see. Man, Seth, I'm just teasing you. Yeah, praise the living God. Eh? Build a culture out of it. There's so much I could say here. But you will have no excuse for remaining an average Christian. No excuse. No excuse. Hmm? There are times I used to walk in here and pray in tongues continuously, huh, to try to see. Hmm? And I would hit, miss, go back and say, no, I won't give up. Until a point reached where you enter a thing. You no longer need to activate it. Anytime you can see. We are so laissez-faire. Enoch walked with God. The man could decree, was engaging in warfare, spiritual. The guy traversed spiritual cities. Huh? And that's a man without Christ inside him. Now you, the farthest you've gone is Bundibuju. No. No. Indeed, no. The next time, the day I randomly come out and ask you, what does your tomorrow hold? May you not stop and think. Because God, you can intentionally determine tomorrow. Intentionally. Huh? I do it a lot. I say, this person tomorrow is going to call me. Whether there's an itch at their back when they're in the taxi and they say, well, I have to call this man. It will come. Because I'm those else saying, you shall call me, you shall call me. If I feel the person not calling me, I get a picture from Facebook, put it there. You call me, you call me. Just make sure it doesn't enter the realm of witchcraft. Eh? Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. Have you guys learned something? Huh? You sure you've learned something? Because inside of you, Adam had a light, and that light was covered with skin. When you fan up that light, if it grows, it can overshadow this body. That's how transcendence occurs. That's how people light. Huh? I was with a man of God, a friend of mine, a prophet, and we were somewhere talking, just here in Chitintale. We were at a shop at around 8 p.m. during the heart of those lockdown things, eh? But we were being stubborn. Anyway, so we're talking, and a madman, I want you to imagine the scenario. Madman is walking, passing, then he stops and comes to us. Now, I kid you not, he knelt and began to do this. Now, I was excited. I was like, what's this guy doing? Me, I was just like, oh, yeah. Because I know Prophet Elvis had talked about something, and it was actually that Tuesday I talked about, this was a Wednesday. And the guy kneels down like this. So I was asking, so what do we do? Do we cast out? I'm new to this whole thing, eh? Do we say, come out? What? The guy was just there like this. Someone came. There was an owner of the shop where close. Came, chased the guy. The guy ran in circles, came back. I was amused. First thing, when I got home, I told my wife, you will never guess what happened. And what I like about her is that she likes the drama. So she says, you're lying. Hey! Please don't tell her. Eh? Okay. Lastly, I think the last thing I want to share is learn to chant. Chanting is important to open the spirit realm to you. Learn to chant. Now, how do I explain chant to these people here? Eh? Hey! Okay, just learn to chant. Go and look where chanting is. But some of the Psalms, Psalms 150 is actually a chant. Hmm? Chants open up the spirit. Very, very important. Stillness is important for God to do anything for you. You must learn to be still. And that's why I say, if you have nothing to say in prayer, you're in the best place. Because prayer has progressions. As you grow, now you learn what to say. You're with me? Praise the living God, eh? So that also you, a madman, can also what? He says, come out, come out. The guy comes with a stick. That's not your portion. Huh? It's nice to know the feeling that when you're practicing something in the spirit, I would spend a lot of time trying to grow the light. And when I see a madman come and stop, it's not just about, it's a sign what you're doing has fruit. Stop being lazy. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it is established.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.